Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Arthur Staple. You're listening to No Sleep Till Belmont, the Islanders podcast from The Athletic. Well, it's free agency period. The Islanders haven't actually signed any NHL free agents yet as we record here on Tuesday afternoon. I'll keep my phone handy in case something changes. So nothing official yet. They have made a big trade. So we'll break down the departure of Devon Taves, which happened on Monday, and what that means for their roster if there's no other big changes coming. And then later on, we'll go into what's kind of rumored, been on the rumor mill, and we'll see what's going on with that. And then at the end, we'll see what kind of the prescriptions are for any changes I feel like they might need, because there's still a lot of decent players available in free agency in this very weird free agency period to go along with the weird year and the weird 2020 for the whole world. Why should the NHL be any different in terms of the free agent frenzy? So we'll get right into it now. Devon Taves, who was a restricted free agent, one of the three the Islanders have that were kind of central to some of their success last year, dealt on Monday to the Avalanche for a second-round pick next year and a second-round pick in 2022. And as far as the market goes, you know, in a vacuum, it's not a bad return. You know, the teams that need to dump salary, who are giving up players that are useful for them, have brought back pretty meager returns. I think right after the Taves trade, Vegas announced the signing of Alex Pietrangelo and then had to make a commensurate move, and their move was to trade Nate Schmidt, who's been a top four defenseman for them since their inauguration as a team, out to Vancouver for a third-round pick. Columbus had dumped some salary in trading Ryan Murray to the Devils for a fifth-round pick. I think you saw the Leafs move some salary around by trading Andreas Janssen, who's a youngish guy the way like Taves, for not much of a return also to the Devils. So, you know, in that context, not a bad move. You know, I think from the Avalanche side, even if we don't care too much about that, it's a great move for them because Taves is a player who seems to fit very well with what the Avs do. They play with a lot of speed, a lot of tempo, a lot of getting up the ice quick in transition. And I think Devon Taves will help them with that. From the Islanders' perspective, you know, I think in hearing from Lou Lamoriello on Monday after the trade, he was very careful and pointed in saying, obviously the cap crunch had a lot to do with it. Taves and Ryan Pulock both filed for arbitration at the end of last week, and not knowing what sort of arbitration award would come out for Taves, I think they were more secure about maybe their negotiations with Ryan Pulock to avoid arbitration. And obviously Matthew Barzal is another RFA, not arbitration eligible, but they're negotiating with him as well, I'm sure. And those are kind of the two bigger name guys. And I think with Taves, who was finishing a deal where he made $700,000 last year and was second on the Islanders in points among defensemen with 28 in the regular season, tied with Pulock for 10 points in the playoffs, even though he struggled, I think, towards the end against Philly and Tampa. Still 10 points for a defenseman in 22 games in the playoffs shows that you're a player. So I think there was definitely some concern that negotiations weren't close, that an arbitration award could come in anywhere between $3 and $4 million, which really would cause some problems cap-wise. And I think, you know, Lou said it quite plainly that this was not a guy they were looking to trade. And I had posted a story Monday morning when they had an incredibly quiet first 3 days of free agency, no signings, one minor trade of swapping restricted free agents, also with the Avalanche. I think you saw that the things that the Islanders needed to do, which was shed a contract or two of the likes of Johnny Boychuk or Andrew Ladd or Leo Komarov, that wasn't happening. There just wasn't, they didn't have enough assets to move to go with one of those contracts. Teams were asking probably for their 2021 first rounder to go with, say, a Boychuk trade. So this was definitely a plan B. Taves is a good player. He's been a consistent top four defenseman for them pretty much since he got called up in the middle of 2018-19. So, you know, this is part of the flat cap hell and part of the salary cap situation that the Islanders were headed into. You know, and even if the cap went up by, let's say, $3 million or $2.5 million to $84 million, they would have had room to keep all their guys, but they wouldn't have had room to do a whole lot else. So, you know, Lamoriello is banking on Noah Dobson filling a lot of the roles, especially power play role that Taves filled. And they are comfortable, I guess, or you know, resigned to the fact that this was a move they had to make to get some of those assets back. And what they'll do with those picks, will they turn around and package both of those second rounders with Johnny Boychuk to go to a team that is willing to take on Boychuk's $6 million cap hit, whether that's a Jersey, Ottawa? There's not that many teams left. You know, I think after the weekend, It was more concerning to look at, say, a cap friendly and see the cap space dwindling on all these other teams without them having really moved anybody. You know, Ottawa's still below the cap floor, but they still have some RFAs to sign. So you start to get, you're not too concerned about throwing bad money after bad for the Islanders in terms of making a big splash in free agency, but more concerned about who's, you know, where can you dump off a bad contract now? It's getting harder and harder to do that with fewer cap dollars available, even for the teams that don't have complete rosters right now. So it was definitely a situation where, you know, Lou Lamoriello clearly felt they had to make this move. It lessens their top four in a certain way. You know, I'd heard from a couple sources, and I've certainly put it out there a lot, and it's certainly been suggested a lot just because it's a natural thing to wonder about Nick Leddy with 2 years left on his deal, no trade protection, whether he was the guy to get me moved. And I've been told quite adamantly he is not getting moved. Barry Trotz loves the guy. And I think the way that he played in the playoffs makes them feel that he can also be the one to step in and fill that kind of second left defenseman role behind Adam Pellick, pair with Scott Mayfield. He could even pair with Andy Green, and we'll talk about him more in a little bit if he's coming back. He's currently still an unrestricted free agent. So when you have Letty and you have Taves, I think the assumption all along, and it's the way the NHL works these days, is that you want to keep the younger, cheaper guy and try to find a home for the older guy, because you just want to set the clock back, not only in terms of age, but in terms of dollars, and they're very similar in what they do. But I think with the unknowns of an arbitration award or poor negotiations, perhaps a better return for a guy who's going to make less somewhere else in terms of Taves versus Letty, that was the move they made. So I guess the one advantage is the Islanders are deep on defense, and they can probably absorb this if they give Noah Dobson a little bit more responsibility, whether he's the third pair right defenseman, and a top power play guy. You know, I think they're high enough on Noah Dobson to feel like they can absorb this blow, but it was a blow because Taves has been a really good player for them these last couple of years. So that was the big move on Monday. There were a couple of small signings that were announced. Their own RFAs, Grant Hutton and Mitch Van de Sompel, re-signed, both two-way deals. Those guys are going to be in the AHL whenever we get an AHL season. They brought in Austin Zarnik, an undrafted 27-year-old former NCAA player from Miami of Ohio, who's been in the Bruins and Flames organizations. Second year of that two-year deal is one way, so presumably he could be someone who plays a bottom six role going forward, but again, more depth. And Lou Lamoriello didn't say outright, but did essentially confirm our Pierre LeBrun's reporting that Corey Schneider, the former Devils goalie who was bought out last week, will be joining the Islanders on a one-year deal for $700,000, which is very much a prove-it league minimum type situation. Schneider's 34. By all accounts, one of the good guys in the game. Lou basically said as much. He's been in contact with Schneider since he's been bought out. He wants to resurrect his career, and he'll work with Mitch Korn and Piero Greco and Chris Terreri, presumably be the AHL number one next year. And that may seem like a big come down for a guy who when Lamoriello was the Devils GM, gave up the 9th overall pick to get back in 2013. I remember it well because the Islanders were interested in trading for Corey Schneider as well. I believe they offered Nino Niederreiter straight up to Vancouver. Vancouver chose that 9th overall pick, which became Bo Horvat, who's now their captain, probably the better choice. But Schneider was a Devils mainstay for a while. Injuries have kind of set him back in the last few years. So the buyout came, chance to kind of build himself back up with a program that's known for resurrecting some goalie careers. I think Robin Lehner can probably help say that as well. So, you know, and a reliable name to have as your number three, and a contract that can be fully buried in the AHL without any concerns of it counting against the cap. So that signing still hasn't been made official, and neither has Andy Green's signing, although Lou also said that there's a strong chance that Green will be back, which I think we can read between the lines and say he's almost certain to come back. And that, if it's also on a one-year team-friendly deal, is a good situation, softens the blow a little bit for Taves, because Green and Noah Dobson were a fantastic pair in the Phase 3 return to play training camp back in July. And maybe they can recapture that when we get started, whether it's December or January. And having a Green Dobson third pair probably makes things look pretty good for the Islanders. I think the balance will still be there if you have Pelech and Pulock as your top pair, Letty and Mayfield as your second pair or third pair, Green Dobson second or third pair. Green played well on his offside with Letty. If that needs to happen, they got options, and they've also still got some depth as well. So we'll see where that takes them when things are officially announced. But for now, still in the rumor phase, but Taves is gone. They've got some assets, and we'll see what they can do with them.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So, as we said, we call them still rumors, as Lou put them, but Schneider is signed. Andy Green is almost certainly signed. Matt Martin and Derek Brassard are still out there, and Tom Kuhnhackl as the Islanders' unrestricted free agents. We'd be remiss in not mentioning Thomas Greiss, long-serving Islander 1B, sometimes 1A, sometimes clear number one goalie in his 5 years with the Islanders. Leaves is, I think, ranked 5th all-time in wins for goalies with the Islanders with 101, 6th in shutouts, in net for 2 series-clinching wins, one in 2016 against the Panthers, and then the Game 7 shutout he had against the Flyers to get the Islanders to the Eastern Conference Final. A pretty well-decorated Islander career for him, for someone who came in as a clear backup to Yaro Halak back in 2015. And Greiss leaves for Detroit, 2 years, $3.6 million per, a raise over what was considered to be a pretty generous 3-year deal at 3.3 that Garth Snow signed Greiss to right before, you know, the year before the changeover to from Snow to Lou Lamoriello. And I think Greiss will do well in Detroit. It's not a team that's going to succeed very much next season, but he's a guy who I think knew, you know, statistically it's shown that he thrives with a lot of work. He's going to get a lot of work. It's not a very deep defense there in Detroit. And I think for 2 years, you know, if he gets through this coming season and then the following season, could be a guy who ends up being a, you know, a trade deadline move, or Detroit will start to put it back together and be a team on the rise. So, you know, good for him. He served the Islanders well for 5 years, and it'll be sad not to have him around on a personal level. I've never met a European-born player who knows his English cliches as well as Thomas Greiss. And it's not complaining by any means. I always would privately marvel at him that he could be boring in two languages. It's a real skill, trust me. You know, in hockey, sometimes we, as reporters, we benefit from guys who don't have English as a first language, and they're sometimes a little more candid than they mean to be when they're speaking English. But Thomas was not one of those guys. He knew his bad cliches. He knew how to dull things down. He knew how to not say. He would sometimes talk and not say anything, and that was the way that he wanted it. So he's somebody else's problem on that front now. But as far as the other Islanders UFAs go, you know, haven't heard too much about Matt Martin. You know, I think the forward market, and certainly the same with Derek Brassard, very slow moving forward market, especially for depth guys like that. I think, you know, you saw Kyle Clifford, who's a similar guy to Martin, sign in St. Louis. I sort of wonder if Martin is really looking to leave the tri-state area as a guy who's got very strong ties to Long Island with his wife. They have a new baby. You know, there was definitely some talk, and I'm sure it was hopeful talk, that the Rangers might take an interest. But from what I understand, there's been zero conversation with the Rangers and his camp. I think it seems right now, if it's not the Islanders, it would have to be something that's not a preferred destination for him. And I do wonder if the Islanders have extended an offer that Martin's camp feels is really competitive. You know, they're still dealing with a limited budget until they make this Boychuk trade. And even after that, the big dollars that they have reserved in-house are going to go to Barzal and Pulock. So for Martin and Brassard, if they're willing to take team-friendly deals, and whether that means $1 million or $1.5 million or even less than $1 million, it's you've seen some different sort of offers out there these days. And when you're an over 30 bottom six forward, I don't think it's a good time to be a free agent. So we'll see. We'll see what's to come with those two guys. And now that we look at what the Islanders have, we kind of went over what their defense would look like if nothing else changes, provided that they do find a home for Johnny Boychuk. You know, when you're wondering about the Barzal and Pulock situations, I think we'd speculated last week that Barzal, if it's going to be around $7 million per on a short-term 2 or 3 year deal, that makes a lot of sense. Pulock, the closer you get to arbitration, the more locked in that number is. It's shorter, but if they can go longer, it's certainly going to be over $5 million. It could get closer to $6 million if it's a longer-term deal. And right now, you know, trading Taves doesn't free up any cap space because he was a restricted free agent. So there's still around just under $9 million in cap space. A Boychuk trade, getting rid of that entire cap, $6 million cap hit, obviously would give them a lot of comfort. But even at that, you know, if Barzal and Pulock come in, say, at $12 million combined, you know, you're looking at Boychuk 6 plus about 9, $15 million. It still doesn't leave you a whole lot. And I imagine that offering Johnny Boychuk around the league will possibly be an impediment to the Islanders trying to bury his contract or bury him on long-term injured reserve when push comes to shove, just because if you've been offering him in a trade, he better be healthy or else you're in trouble. So I'm curious to see if Johnny Boychuk is still on the roster when we get close to training camp, what happens with that. I think Andrew Ladd, you know, the fact that we're not even talking about him, and optimistically people were, you know, myself included, were wondering if the Islanders could move that deal. And that feels so much more immovable now when you look at some of the deals that were made to shed salary, useful players, assets attached that were pretty generous. I would have to think that if the Islanders were going to be at all in a conversation about moving Andrew Ladd, their first round pick next year would have to be on the table. It might even be more than that. You know, there's teams that are just not willing to take on these contracts that are completely buyout proof, like Ladd's is, even if there's not a lot of cash owed. The teams at the bottom end of the closer to the salary cap floor just, you know, it's not the old days like it was, presuming that the cap will go up and up and up. You can see a team like Arizona that took on Marian Hossa's cap hit several years ago. They're capped out already, and they're not a team that's had a big run of success. They're changing general managers. They're shedding salary. They're shedding actual dollars. It's a bit of a mess in Arizona, and that is, you know, kind of the mess you can get into. And it, presuming that the cap will keep going up and taking on bad contracts, and it just figuring that there'll be those four or five bottom feeding teams that are willing to take on the cap hit in exchange for assets. Maybe there'll be one or two left, but it feels like Andrew Ladd's contract is definitely not one of those right now. So if he's looking at an LTIR stint, then maybe that gives them a little bit more, the Islanders more breathing room. But I think to just bring back as close to what they had in their Eastern Conference final run just last month is going to take a lot more maneuvering than what we've seen so far from the Islanders. And, you know, right now, if you factor in some of their restricted free agents, they're right at 35 contracts out of the 50 contract maximum. And I think you're going to see teams well below that. You know, the teams that maybe when the AHL season starts just have 18 guys on an AHL roster or 20 guys on an AHL roster, or guys that are in the AHL that are on two-way AHL, ECHL deals to round out a roster. It's just not a time to be spending excess money the way the Islanders did in a big way when Lou Lamoriello first came in. They had a lot of veteran AHL guys. They had both of Ray Bourque's sons. They had a couple other veteran guys. Steve Bernier was still there. Steven Gionta was still there. Colin McDonald's came back last year. It's going to be a tough one for those guys to find some deals. So I think the depth is going to be very young. And when the signing of Austin Zarnik kind of shows that, I think the Islanders are concerned that they're not going to have a lot of those kind of quad A, you know, AHL tweener AHL NHL guys that you can call up pretty easily. So, it's a very different, unprecedented time. And it's moving very slowly, which I guess is a benefit to the Islanders because they are also moving very slowly as we get here through this free agency period with still some onerous cap implications for the Islanders.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Of the guys that are left on the free agent market that might help the Islanders, you know, the thing that they were missing the most, I think, was kind of a more bona fide top nine scorer on the wing. You know, and if there's something to be done with Leo Komarov's contract, Pulak filing for arbitration, and whatever contract he gets, if it's over $4 million per year, it opens up a second buyout window for the Islanders. And Komarov's contract may be one that you'd buy out, not just to get the cap room, which it doesn't give you a whole lot of, but more to let the player go because you're not really going to be able to move him and have that third line wing spot next to Jean-Gabriel Pageau be a little bit more available. Kind of guy that they'd be looking to fill that. I mean, Mike Hoffman is still out there. He's not really a third line guy, but they could maybe do some shuffling if they wanted to add his offense and his power play ability. You know, Taylor Hall signing for 1 year and $8 million as the top forward on the market didn't really set off a whole chain reaction of events because it was such a unique signing, and he signed with the Sabres, a team that no one would have thought he would have signed with. So I don't think it's shaken the leaves of quite so much that it's a real buyer's market. I think a guy like Tyler Toffoli, Islanders could never have gone to 4 years with him. The Canadians could. They got a good value contract at 4.25 per. Same with the Bruins, 3 years, 3.1 million per for Craig Smith, the guy who kills the Islanders. I think the Islanders did express some general initial interest, but the cap room wasn't there. So there goes another potential third line guy. So I think you're looking at rather than guys like Anthony Duclair or Andreas Athanasiou, younger guys who maybe are looking for bigger payouts or longer term. I think you're looking more in the veteran 1 to 2 year range. I think a guy like Carl Soderberg, who had a nice bounce back year in Arizona last year, he's 35. I think could be a Val Filppula type signing for them, as a guy who kills penalties and produces some offense, can play some power play, versatile all around through that top nine. I think if you put him on a line with Pageau, that's probably a pretty good checking line fit. So that's kind of the guys you're thinking of. I think Alex Galchenyuk is a guy who's still out there. I don't know that the Islanders have shown much interest. He's more on a reclamation project, only 26, one-time 30-goal scorer for the Canadiens. So we'll see. Mikael Granlund is out there as a guy who's played center and wing, maybe a bit smaller than the Islanders would like as far as some of their bottom six wingers, but certainly has some skill. And then maybe a guy like Erik Haula, if they can get him on a cheap deal. Bounced around a little bit the last few years, Vegas, Carolina, Florida, but guy can win faceoffs, kills penalties. You're looking for roles, really, not necessarily the biggest name possible. So, roles are super important to Barry Trotz. I think they have their top six pretty well set. So if they can get a versatile veteran who can start off on that third line and maybe bounce around a little bit as needed, kind of like what Derek Brassard did, and it could still be Derek Brassard, but I think it's that type of guy that they'd be looking to plug in with their meager cap space and not really looking much beyond a one-year deal. So we wait a little bit more to see if there's anything else happening, whether it's a Johnny Boychuk trade, maybe another trade, contracts for Matthew Barzal and Ryan Pulock. Big free agent signings, I don't know what would qualify, but like I said, if they add one more forward, that would be that would make the most sense to me. And then we wait to see what happens with the NHL and the world at large, whether a January 1 target start date that Gary Bettman announced last week is possible, whether they push that back, whether we have a season, what kind of season it'll look like, sort of a regional modified bubble where the Islanders, Rangers, and Devils are maybe kind of in a northeast corridor type situation, travel around by bus or train to play the Bruins, the Sabres, maybe the Capitals, Flyers, teams like Penguins, teams like that, five or six times to get through half a season. And then hopefully the pandemic is starting to wane and they can maybe have fans in the stands and finish off a season. So, but we are finished, I think, with the 2019-20 season. It's been a wild ride since we started back just about a year ago, I think, even a little bit more. Had lots of great guests, some interesting conversations along the way, great questions from everybody out there via Twitter. We're going to keep all of that up going into next season. We'll hop back on here this offseason if anything noteworthy happens. But for now, we'll be signing off. This is Arthur Staple, your Islanders writer from The Athletic. This is No Sleep Till Belmont, your Islanders podcast from The Athletic. We've had a great year, and it's thanks to everybody out there listening. And we'll be back again soon. Take care, everyone.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.